Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll on a honey.
Show, folks, and welcome to a brand new week here in April. Starting to feel a little bit more like spring. Not quite summer, not quite winter. That's what spring's supposed to be. As we spring off into the show, I want to thank you for being with us. That's right, you're listening to the American Adversaries as we come to you live from this beautiful studio here in the Central Florida area. And once again, we're coming to you on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Abe Katzman's going to join us here shortly, live from Jerusalem. Got quite a few things to talk to him about, but you can participate in that conversation too if you like. And then a little bit later on, today is the first Monday in the month, so we try to reserve the first Monday of the month for John Barros, the sidewalk counselor, who's going to be joining us, and he'll tell us what's been going on in his side of the world, on his side of the world, so to speak, when the second hour of the show begins. Before we really get rolling along here, though, just a couple of program notes. I hope you caught last night's show. If you did not, but you tried to, because the Rays were playing their home and season opener, I'm sorry about that. Of course, you can go to our archive after the show tonight and catch the whole thing. And we did do the show just like we always do. We talked about a lot of things. We talked about the latest in the polls and the politics and what it looks like in Wisconsin on both sides. We talked a little bit about the convention rules. Carl Jackson joined us with his corner, and he educated us as to what's going on, or I should say more accurately, what's not going on with the evangelical vote. They are not. That's the one group amongst the Republicans that doesn't seem to be jazzed and charged up for this election, and they seem to be sitting this one out again, and that's in spite of, Ted Cruz's tremendous efforts to get them out. I mean, that's what his father's been doing for several years now, is trying to get these folks out, and it just does not seem to be working. Their guy early on was Ben Carson, and when he got out of this thing, a lot of them got out with him. So we'll be talking about that a little more as the weeks go on, but that's something obviously to watch, because that will not only hurt now for whichever candidate they would have voted for, but it's going to hurt the Republicans in the fall if that trend holds true. We also talked about the correlation, if you will, that one author at least has begun to notice between what I'll call the Quranic literacy rate. In other words, he has noticed a correlation between the more people, or especially young, disaffected, and disenfranchised people, read the Quran, the more they result in becoming jihadis. So you really want to know what's the best recruiting tool for the jihadis and Islamic State and all these other groups? Well, it's the Quran. Duh. You know, it seems quite obvious, like the nose on your face, but everybody wants to talk around that. And, of course, nobody, hardly, wants to admit it. And then when somebody does, like Ben Carson or Donald Trump or even Ted Cruz, why, of course, they're lambasted by not only by the liberal media and the liberals, but also by the Republicans, who don't have the guts to stand up and say that sort of thing because they're afraid of the truth and what that would mean that they might have to do. So we talked about a lot of things on the show last night. Now, we were preempted from FM 105.5 and AM 660. And that's going to happen now that the baseball season has started. We got a lot of you listeners out there who are new and have not experienced this. But these stations cover the Tampa Rays baseball team, and so when they are playing, we get preempted. We get preempted by the pregame show, and then we get preempted, of course, by the game itself. Now, that's the bad. Well, that's sort of the bad news. But Major League Baseball has this funky, or in our situation, I guess, kind of cool rule that they only allow their baseball games to be broadcast over the airwaves, the old-fashioned way, so to speak, not streamed over the internet. So the bad news is we get preempted off the airwaves. The good news is we're still being streamed live on the internet, and we do the show just like it was on the airwaves. It's the only way we know how to do it. Well, we don't know how to do this one way. If we're not on the airwaves, you can find us either at am660theanswer.com, or this is another reason to download that free AM660 app, the WORL FM AM app. Just go to am660theanswer.com and download that app. Because not only will you be able to hear our show, but you'll be able to hear whatever programming is going on while the baseball game is going on. Like tonight, when we go off the air, or actually off of the show ends at 7 o'clock, Larry Elder is going to debut with his show tonight. Now, if you want to tune in after the baseball game, they're going to replay his show. But if you want to catch it at its regular time, once again, you're going to have to go to am660theanswer.com or download the WORL FM AM app, or once again, just go to am660theanswer.com and find and download the app there so that you won't be without us or whatever programming that you like to hear. And that's 7 days a week. Whenever the Rays are on, the normal programming will be preempted, but only on the airwaves. So you'll have another alternative, but you got to be ready for it. Now, on Sunday night, but Sunday night only, you can find us up the dial at 1520 WBZW, one of our sister stations. But that's only on Sunday night. Okay, it's not going to happen tonight at 6:30. We're going to go off the airwaves. Once again, we'll still be on the stream, but we'll be off the airwaves at 6:30 for the pregame show. That's going to happen again tomorrow night. Then Wednesday, because they're going to start the game at 4 o'clock, we're going to miss the whole show, okay, because they're playing in the trop. There won't be any rain out. So we're going to miss the whole show on the airwaves Wednesday, but once again, we'll be live on the stream. And we'll be here, and we'll be doing the show just like we normally do. So just please take all that into consideration as the summer progresses along. As it normally works out, about 4 days a week on average, we will lose that last half hour of our show on the airwaves. So if you're not prepared for that, then you're only going to get 90 minutes of the best local live news talk radio in town. And that's not just me saying that. That's y'all saying that, too. So, in mass numbers. So, you know, just be prepared, and you have the alternatives. Okay, so now you got another reason to get that app. But, of course, you still have the reason of being able to participate in the daily poll, and until April the 15th, that'll be one of the avenues that you can use to register once a day for the Tax Day Bonus Sweepstakes, where someone in our audience who's doing this at least once is going to win $4,000. And I don't know about you, but most of us could use another sweet $4,000. Okay? So now, having said all of that, Nick LoCicero, what is today's question and where do we stand so far?
All right. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Chris. I'm just actually helping John download our AM660 The Answer app.
Oh, yeah. There's John Barrows. Hey,
yeah.
John.
So he has an Android device. So we had to go to AM660TheAnswer.com, click on the banner, and it brought us right there. So it's installing as we speak.
There you go.
So John can take part in our poll questions.
Hey. And real quick, I know a lot of you out there, you're like me, you got these smartphones that make you feel pretty stupid, right? So if you can't do it, get somebody who can. Now, I was able to download it, but I glad to get somebody to help me use it. So,
and you know what?
It's so easy, though, when you do it a couple times.
And because I'm a nice person, Chris, I'll even offer my services. So if you need help, you're listening to the show right now, you need help, just give us a call, 407-774-8255. I'll walk you through it.
There you go. It's that easy, that quick. Okay.
Tech support.
All right. So what about today?
All right. Yeah, today. Today's poll question. We're looking ahead to tomorrow. Who will win the Wisconsin Republican primary? Will it be Kasich, Trump, or Cruz? And right now our listening audience is split 50-50, Trump, Cruz. So
Wow. This
is going to be decided during your show, Chris.
All right. So that will give you the final tally. We'll give you a tally when we go out at the 90-minute, but then the final tally will come out at the end of the show, as it normally will.
And Kasich never gets a vote by our listening audience, so I feel bad.
They're too smart for that. You're not going to slicker them on that one. But it's interesting that it breaks pretty evenly between Cruz and Trump. Now, there was a poll, and we talked about this once again on last night's show, and I can't do all last night's show over again. Even if I tried, I couldn't do it. But there's a CBS tracking poll that came out that showed actually a little tightening in the race. There are these polls that have been showing Cruz with a 10-point lead. This shows it tightening a little bit to 6. So, and it showed that Cruz had gained a little bit, but so had Trump. He had gained even more. So perhaps Trump has got a little bit of momentum on his side. There was early voting in that state, so a number of people had already voted prior to last week. And it is an open primary. However, because the race on the other side is pretty close as well, a CBS tracking poll showed it 49-47 Bernie, that if there were any Democrats who might have been tempted to go over and vote for Trump, they might be more tempted to stay home and vote for that side of the primary. So we will see. But once again, please participate in that poll question. And once again, download the WORL-FM-AM app or simply go to AM660TheAnswer.com and find that app and do it that way. Or call Nick and he'll help you out. Okay. All right. We'll go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, Abe Katzman is going to be joining us. We'll talk a little bit about our politics and we'll talk a lot about what's going on over on that side of the planet. So once again, just take all of that into consideration. Okay. And let's see. Was there one other thing? Oh, yeah. But real quick. And just give me a little flexibility here, Nick, because tomorrow night, speaking of Trump and Cruz and all that sort of thing, tomorrow night, Seminole County is going to be holding the Seminole County Republican Executive Committee is going to be holding a meeting at the Perkins over on the west side of Apopka. What this is all about is picking delegates. Now we've heard Trump do some complaining about how these delegates are being selected. It's only because his ground game hasn't been as good as Ted Cruz's. There's no two ways about it. For instance, yesterday in North Dakota over the weekend, it culminated, yesterday with the signing of the delegates. They had a 3-day convention and this time each of the campaigns had representatives there, but Cruz had representatives there 6 months ago. Carl Jackson was talking about this on the show months ago. And so they were Johnny-come-latelys, and they got pretty much what you get when you're Johnny-come-lately of the 25 delegates that were available. And once again, now in North Dakota, as Abe Katzman has pointed out, they don't choose, they don't have a primary to choose who their delegates will be bound to, at least temporarily, like they are here in Florida. There, they are what's called unbound delegates. However, being unbound delegates, that means they can vote for anybody they want. So obviously, it's even more important than ever that you get one of your or you get your people as the so-called unbound delegates so that they will be unbound to vote for anybody else and vote for you. And that's what Cruz did yesterday. Of the 25, he got like 23 of them. So hats off to him. That's like a landslide victory in a primary. And these are actually a little bit better because they're his people. So they're not going to go away until he asks them to. So however many ballots they're going to be, they're going to be good for. So that's very smart politicking right there. Now, that's going to be going on here tomorrow in Seminole County, right up the street here at the Perkins. Okay, you need to be there if you want to be in on this. It's going to be like a caucus meeting, and it's going to be chaired by the Al Schwartz, who's the Seminole County Executive Committee Chairman. Now, he's a Trump supporter, but also the committee woman, Catherine Townsend, is going to be there. She's a never-Trump person. And Ray Valdez is going to be there as a committee man. He's a never-Trump person. Now, if you show up, they'll give you 2 minutes to have your say. And they have to give you that 2 minutes, but you got to get there at about 4:30 for the meeting when it starts at 6:00. So you get in and you get a place because, you know, the Cruz people, there are people that are waiting for these opportunities to get in on this stuff and get these delegates locked up. Now, this Perkins is on the west side of Apopka, 989 Orange Blossom Trail. That's 989 West Orange Blossom Trail, Apopka. All right. And, once again, that's tomorrow, and the doors are they'll let you in at 4:30. Between 4:30 and 5 is when you need to get there and get a table and get set. And the actual meeting will begin at 6 o'clock. And if you want to participate or see how this all works, that's how you'll get a good close-up look at it. That's tomorrow night, Perkins on West Apopka, in West Apopka, 989 West Orange Blossom Trail. Okay, let's take a phone call, then we'll take a break, and we'll get to Abe Katzman. Nathan, thank you for calling tonight. I appreciate you being out there.
Hey, Chris. How are you? I called you last week. I don't know if you remember.
I believe I do, yes.
Yes, okay. Yeah, but I think Cruz is definitely going to win Wisconsin.
Looks like that, yeah.
I think it's too late for anyone to get the delegate majority.
Real quick, and I'll let you make your point, but real quick, Cruz is pretty well out of it now numerically as well. He can win Wisconsin, but unless he really blew New York out, he will be out of it. And Trump will be the only one that will have any sort of possibility. However, the odds will be longer because he will have to get an even larger share of the remaining delegates should he lose tomorrow night. Go ahead now.
Yeah, that's right. But Trump had a horrible week.
He did?
Last week. I mean, it was absolutely horrible.
We all agree on that.
Yeah, I mean, he changed his position on abortion like 4 times.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. Well, and I mean, I think what was worse is that yesterday Hillary and Bernie gave horrible answers about the abortion question. And it was ignored because everyone's still talking about Trump.
Well, yes and no. They would have ignored it anyway because they did come out of Bernie and Hillary. But we brought this up a little bit last night. Going to bring it up again here a little bit shortly when John is in the studio with me. But, yeah, she said that persons inside a womb don't have constitutional rights. She called them persons. And then went on to say, and personhood is basically what the Supreme Court uses to determine when you do have constitutional rights. In other words, if you got personhood, you got constitutional rights.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, they messed up. But I wouldn't put that off on Trump because they would not have gone that way anyways. And because they, you know, they're all liberals. Having said that, there are some pro-choice groups who are quite put off by the remarks, and they are wanting to make a big deal out of it. However, once again, the media is not going to allow that to go very far, which is why we're here to try to carry it.
Yeah, we have to.
Yep, you got that right, man.
You got
that right.
Yeah, thanks for everything you do, even though I disagree with you a lot of times. But you're still awesome in my book.
Well, that just tells you the power of conversation, that we can disagree and still enjoy to hear each other's side of the argument. Because I like to hear the alternatives as well, you know?
Also, I wanted to correct the record because I said I would be voting third party, and someone said, well, if Sanders runs third party, he'll be voting Sanders no. I'm not a communist. libertarian, unless there's a more conservative option, I'd be going for.
we will be happy to let you off the hook. All right. Thank you, Nathan. God bless you. Take care. All right. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with Abe Katzman and the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. We'll be right back. right. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show, and I want to go right to our man live in Jerusalem, Abe Katzman. Abe, how you doing tonight?
Doing fine. Happy opening day from
a
Jerusalem-based baseball fan.
How'd the Seattle do?
They're playing right now. Believe it or not, the game is being broadcast here in Israel.
Oh, cool.
And we're ahead 2-0.
So
far, the season's going great.
Didn't do so good for the Tampa Rays last night. They dropped 1-5-3 for their season opener. But, hey, I'm a Braves fan, but don't tell anybody. All right. Abe, let's start over here tonight, and then we'll go back over to talk Middle East stuff after the break. You have a residence in Washington. Now, I know that they had the Democrat primary the other day. First of all, what did you think about how Bernie blew Hillary out in those three primaries the other day? And second of all, when's the Republican primary in Washington, and can you vote absentee ballot?
The Republican primary is toward the end of May, perhaps May 22nd, I think.
That late. Okay.
As far as I know, I can vote absentee. I'd better check on that. I'm pretty sure I can, but I'm registered, and I think Washington State does everything by mail now. So I mean, it shouldn't be that hard to take care of.
As I got
get a little closer, I'll pay more attention to it. Sanders is, you know, the Democrats in Washington State are a very left wing group. I mean, it really is Sanders's type of constituency. So that didn't surprise me so much, but I, at least not that he won. The margin of victory was something else.
Right.
And that was also the case in the other Western states. What was it? Alaska?
Alaska was one, and Idaho or somewhere like that, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah, something like that. But it was the margin of victory.
Yeah, but look, she just does not excite anybody, and he does. And until she can really make some kind of compelling case to vote for her, I don't really see. You know, she may very well win, but she's not going to win by a lot, and she may only win thanks to the superdelegates. I think that puts her in a pretty weak position.
All right. We'll talk the other side of the aisle when we get back, and we'll also talk a lot of Middle Eastern news when we get back as well with Abe Katzman. Once again, you can find his excellent columns at abekatzman.com. That's Katzman. And we're back. And you're always a winner when you're listening to the American Adversaries, especially on Monday when we have Abe Katzman, who comes to us live from Jerusalem like he's doing right now. And Abe, the situation on the other side of the aisle with the Republicans gets more and more bizarre by the minute. How's it all going over there?
Well, I don't think most people here understand. I think most people in America are only learning to understand it. There are all these rules that we're finally learning about that apparently have been there all along. But this has been an education this time around.
I was thinking the same thing. And for instance, in Wisconsin, I mean, you in that last one of your recent articles, you really educated us as to these states and the sort of the nuances. Now, Wisconsin is supposed to be a winner take all state, but I understand it's not exactly a winner take all state. And as you know, this is a learning process, and you got to do it 50 times. That's where I got to take my hat off to the Cruz campaign, because they know the rules in all 50 states and they're working them to their advantage.
Yeah, I think that's my impression also. I mean, you know, Trump has kind of been trying to run this I don't know what exactly how to call it, but it's kind of a broader, more national campaign, and he's doing it without state organizations. I mean, maybe he's putting them together now, but I think he's probably fallen way behind in that department. And as we're now learning about, you know, we've got these state conventions coming up, and the way they're going to be choosing their delegates, I think makes it very likely that if Trump doesn't win it outright, he's going to have a very, very hard time trying to win it after the first ballot. I just don't see that happening now. And in fact, I think he's wondering about that also, because the fact that he that he's now calling for Kasich to drop out. Now, I think everybody assumes that Kasich is actually a weapon for him. But what I think he may be thinking is that he's got to do something here, because the way it's going now, the breakdown, the way what Cruz is likely to win, what Trump is likely to win, Trump is going to fall short of that 1237. And maybe, who knows what happens if Kasich gets out? You always, you know, that can shake things up. Maybe he will get enough to get to 1237. But the fact that he's calling for it now strikes me as being an indication that he thinks that something is not going well.
Yeah, well, actually, he first mentioned this, I think, a week or two ago. I remember talking about it on the show briefly, but now he seems much more adamant about it. And, you know, for a while, at least, Kasich was good for him to be in there to sort of hold Cruz down. But as you get into those northeastern states that are coming up after tomorrow, after tomorrow, you got New York, and then you got like Rhode Island, Connecticut, and these other states where I think he's thinking that Kasich will be the bigger threat to him there. And now that he's sort of gotten the use out of him, he's through with him, and he wants him out of the way, so to speak.
Yeah, that may very well be, and maybe he's added it all up, and you know, that's really what he's figuring. My hunch is that it's probably a wash. Is that he probably, you know, he loses votes in some of those states, but I think he gains in others as a result of Kasich being in there. So I don't know if it works, whether it's in his favor or not. Really hard to tell. The one other thing, though, is, you know, Trump all along was kind of a momentum candidate. And we've talked about this before, this 4-week period that we're in now where Wisconsin is the only thing going on.
Yep.
And if he doesn't win that, that's going to be 4 weeks that he goes without winning anything, that he can't point to being a winner. That he's already made, you know, the attention has already been drawn to certain missteps that he made, the tweets with Heidi Cruz, the kind of nonsensical statements about paying down the debt within 8 years without having any kind of plan to do it. I really. my gut tells me that he's in trouble.
Yeah, that's what I call optimistic thinking there. And what Abe is referring to is an interview that he gave to Bob Woodward over the weekend, a Washington Post interview, where it was about an hour and a half long interview. And yeah, there were some pretty remarkable things said by Trump during the interview. The one thing I wanted to ask you, though, in particular, that his remarks over the past week or so regarding NATO and him not ruling out the use of nuclear weapons, for instance, even in Europe, has that garnered much attention? Because it certainly seems to have shaken up a lot of people over here.
It's been noticed. I think that people here will hear a statement like that, but because it's coming from him, they'll think maybe he doesn't mean it. Maybe he doesn't know exactly what it is that he's talking about. If it were coming from Ted Cruz, I think they would think that's his policy. But coming from Trump, I think they just think that's what he's saying today, and it that is subject to revision down the road.
Okay. Let's jump over to Israel. You guys evidently have your own Ferguson or Baltimore developing, evidently, or at least fill us in, if you would. I've only seen one report in the media here about it so far, but evidently there was a stabbing, and while a Palestinian was lying on the ground, he was shot again by an Israeli soldier, killing him. And there's been a lot of outrage, and evidently there was one video that looked like the soldier sort of just shot him for no reason, but then another video turned up that seemed to show that there was a very good reason. Can you sort of fill us in?
Yeah. This started with there were two Palestinians attacking Israeli soldiers in the city of Hebron, trying to stab them. One of them was killed by one of the soldiers. They wounded a soldier. So one of the attackers was killed. The other was, I think he was shot. At any rate, he was neutralized. He was lying on the ground. And another Israeli soldier came up. There was after I don't know how long, maybe 60 seconds later, and shot him and killed him while he was lying on the ground. Now, as you said, there was footage of this, which in a sense, that is a story in itself, is why was there somebody filming this? Was somebody tipped off that there was going to be this attack there and was going to be filming it? Because who's just going to be randomly filming, just soldiers on patrol?
You mean the video?
Don't think that something's going to happen.
The initial video of it wasn't a security video?
It was not there may be a security video, but the video that came out that showed the first video that came out that made it look like the soldier just killed him in cold blood, that was supplied by a Palestinian human rights group.
Just imagine that.
Some representative of which was apparently there filming.
Just by chance.
Some question about that.
Yeah, right. they just happened to be there taking
right.
in the sights and the sounds of Hebron, right?
No, right, right. So anyway, the soldier has claimed that there does seem to be something backing him up, that he thought that that some of these attackers apparently will booby trap themselves also.
So right.
If medics come to attack them or soldiers are standing around, they might have a suicide vest on and they can kill more people. So the soldier says that he saw this terrorist still squirming on the ground, moving his hands, and he thought possibly to detonate whatever explosives he might have had, and that's why he shot him. It's not clear. It doesn't look good. I mean, he was arrested. Israel is prosecuting him, although right now prosecuting him for manslaughter. Apparently, there's enough question there about why he did what he did that they are not charging him with murder. So there is at least some evidence that is going to be in his favor. But there have been, this is let loose, protests on all sides. There are people who think that we've got to cut the soldiers a lot more slack and support them. And after all, this was a terrorist and it was part of a terror attack and emotions are running high. And you shouldn't be prosecuting him at all. And other people are saying, throw the book at him. Personally, I think let's wait and see until we actually know what the facts are. I know why people are protesting in both directions, but the truth is we just don't know yet exactly what happened. Like I said, it didn't look good, but then some of the other footage came out and made it look a little bit less clear exactly what it was that happened. So we've got to wait and see.
Yeah, like I say, it sounds awful familiar to Ferguson, Baltimore over here. Obviously, though, you're dealing with terrorism there. I've got a phone call, caller for you, Abe. Let's go to Vivek. Vivek, thank you for calling tonight. You have a question or comment for Abe Katzman.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
Earlier, well, I listen to your show daily, and I like that.
Thank you.
And I have a question related to an earlier comment.
Okay.
Made by, I guess, you, about hiring jihadists by giving a tool called Quran. By the way, before I can ask the question, I would like to clarify that I am not a Muslim.
Okay.
So this is an independent opinion.
Okay.
And I feel disturbed when I hear comments on your program about generalized comments about Islam or Quran. Don't you think that is not right to make a comment about almost 22% of the population of the universe? Are we progressing towards Nazism or like Hitler-like attitude?
Well, I hope not. I think not. Are you calling in regard to what I said earlier about a correlation that an author has found between the more we have what I called Quranic literacy, in other words, the more you have people reading it and have it available in the various languages, the more we see jihadism? Is that what you're commenting about?
Yeah, similar. And then some things which I have been listening to in the program, in previous programs, not today, though, but earlier.
Right. Well, we try to stick to the facts. Now, that you know, that what I talked about, that was a correlation noted by an author, and we gave the author's name on the show last night. It was Nabil. I'll look through last night's notes and see if I can find that. Nabil something was his name. But, you know, we try to stick to the facts. We try not to you know, stray too far from the facts. Yes, it's the there are that many Muslims in the world, but unfortunately, you know, the vast majority of terrorism and violence carried out in this world is done in the name of Islam. And what we're simply trying to do is to get to the root of it. Abe, do you wish to chime in on this?
I think that what you said is right. Obviously, the billion plus Muslims are obviously not all terrorists. Nobody says that they are. But you do have a problem that seems to be related to Islam. I don't care if it's causation or correlation. That's a different discussion, but it's certainly there. You have, for instance, I was just looking at some polling among European Muslims, and among young European Muslims, support for suicide bombings currently ranges between 22% and 42%, depending on which country in Europe you're talking about. Now that is a that's a scary number, and there is. Look, there's a connection. I wish it weren't the case. I understand the discomfort with this line of inquiry, but facts are facts. And, you know, there are people who might say all religions have extremists. That's not what we're talking about here. In fact, it's interesting that in Israel, there are Arab Christians, and yet there has never been a Christian suicide bomber.
Yeah, but like this kind of discussion or this kind of statements, how are you going to solve this problem? Are we saying that this world should be Muslimless or Islamless? Is that like possible? And or making such comments like 22% people are ready to become suicide bombers, but then how are we going to solve this problem? And I don't think by making such comments we will be definitely solving that problem.
Well, that's where I totally disagree with you. In my opinion, we don't solve the problem by ignoring it. We solve the problem by staring it in the face and recognizing what it is. The problem is not Christians' take on Islam. The problem is Muslims' take on Islam. And if they're giving a particular interpretation to Islam, it's for a particular reason that they are getting from Islam. That's what we are here. That's what we're trying to point out.
Yes,
now it's
I,
up.
I
it's up to real quick. It's up to I it's up to the it's up to the believers in the faith to clean up their own house.
Yes.
And what
yes.
we're saying is, you got a dirty front yard, and it needs to be fixed. And
exactly.
That's all we're doing is that we're saying what is in fact the obvious.
Yes, I support your point. So for supporting your point, there is one statement I can make that I find very few Muslim. Maybe my knowledge is less. I find very few Muslims coming in forward opposing the terrorist acts and condemning. Maybe on Facebook or any other social sites about the terrorist act being carried out by other Muslims.
Yeah.
And I find very few people, but there still are many people who do that.
Yeah, well, and what we're trying to do is encourage more of that to happen in our own, if you will, rough sort of way. But thank you very much. I appreciate it. And thank you for calling, Vivek. We really appreciate you being out there. And thanks for listening to the show. Abe, you know, he really says, you know, that last statement in particular, when we have these horrific terrorist acts, they are not soundly condemned like they would be, I believe, with if were somebody else doing the act.
No, and we're not certain whether that's because there is an element of sympathy for what it is that they're doing, or whether there is fear of what the result of opposing the radicals, the jihadists, might be. Yeah. I'm not sure. Maybe it's a combination of those things. But, you know, there are plenty of communities, I mean, like regions even, Islamic regions, where this isn't a problem and where they're completely opposed to it. Look at the Kurds. You don't have a Kurdish, a jihadist Kurdish anti-Western population. Quite the contrary. They've, the Kurdish regions have been very pro-Western. They've even been pro-Israeli, which is kind of unusual. You have the Azerbaijanis. You've got a bunch of these.
What about
these
Dubai?
Who are
what
very
about,
cooperative with the West.
What about the Emirates? So yeah, there's. I mean, it's sort of their problem, and that's what we got to impress on them. They got to fix it, because otherwise there's going to be a lot more death and suffering in the process. Abe, there was a number of other things I wanted to talk about. Real quick, I'll just go through them. A couple of things. The threat in Turkey seems to be rising. The terrorist threat. The State Department, the Pentagon, have ordered non-essential personnel out of southern Turkey. Is Israel now doing the same thing? You said before that they were suggesting it. Are they now ordering it?
Yeah, I haven't seen an order. I know that last week we talked about it, and I think they said they were urging everybody
to
get out. I honestly don't know what the distinctions here are, but the fact we mentioned then Germany also did the same thing, and now the U.S. did. There's a sense that the Turkish security may not be up to the task, and that they're just being overwhelmed by the different terror plots, and that even if Turkey wanted to at this point, they may not be able to stop all the terror threats that are out there.
Okay. Over the weekend here in the States, Fox, you might have seen it, Fox ran a special about the American military and how it's been degraded, especially during the Obama administration. And evidently there are concerns that the same thing is happening over in Israel, which is a bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah, well, Israel has always, for a long time at least, has tried, their doctrine has been to maintain what they call the qualitative military edge. In other words, they're outmanned and outgunned in terms of pure numbers by a hundredfold, for all the countries that are in the region here.
Right.
But they have better equipment and they're better prepared and they know how to use it better. However, with the Middle Eastern arms race, and it's not just a nuclear arms race, there's a conventional arms race going on here also. There are more and more and better weapons coming into the region, and Israel is kind of nervous about that because, I mean, there are the immediate threats, of course. You know, you hand Iran $150 billion, and some of that is going to go into weapons for Hamas and weapons for Hezbollah and weapons for whoever else is going to be causing trouble for Israel. But the Russians and the Americans have been bringing weapon systems into this area, even to friendly countries. But the way this region works, the countries that are friendly today are not necessarily friendly tomorrow.
Right.
And the weapon systems will still be there, and will pose a greater threat than to Israel's military than they did a few years ago.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it on that note. But you have a great week over there, Abe, and take care. And, of course, we'll be praying for you in Israel.
Very much appreciated. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you. And go Mariners. All right. That's Abe Katzman, who comes to us live from Jerusalem. We'll take a short break and then come back, and we'll finish out this hour. So please don't go away. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. Going to make this a real quick segment. The fella that wrote that article about the correlation between Quranic literacy and jihadism, his name is Nabil Qureshi, a Christian convert. He converted from Islam to Christianity. Nabil Qureshi wrote it for Relevant. He was the subject of the article written by Relevant magazine. All right. We just got a minute to go here. Real quick, if you have not already, please, if you are a business owner, if you're in business for yourself, you need to sign up for the Bring Small Businesses Back Tour. That's going to be happening this Thursday. The doors open at 6 o'clock right here at the Hilton Orlando in Altamont Springs. It's hosted by our very own Mike Gallagher. Frank Luntz, the famous pollster and commentator for Fox, is going to be there. Alfredo Ortiz of the Job Creators Network. This is all about empowering you as a business owner. It's not to sell you anything. It doesn't cost you anything. And you to register, get your free tickets to go by going to am660theanswer.com. That's am660theanswer.com. Bring Small Businesses Back Tour. This is the first of a nationwide tour, so help us kick it off in style. That's Thursday, this Thursday, the 7th, 6 o'clock, here at the Hilton Orlando in Altamont Springs. Bring Small Businesses Back Tour. You can get your free tickets at am660theanswer.com. Please sign up today. We'll be right back. Now tuning us in, thank you so very much for listening to the American Adversaries as we come to you during drive time and prime time live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer, where we will be live for the next half hour. And then at 6:30, Ray's pregame show starts, but you'll still be able to catch us at am660theanswer.com, or if you've already downloaded that free WORL-FM AM app into your phone, you'll be able to catch us there as well. If not, then please do it now during the show, and that way you won't miss a minute of our show tonight. And if you have any problems finding the app, just go to am660theanswer.com. If you have an Android device, like, for instance, go to am660theanswer.com to download that app. And once again, then since you'll have the app, you'll be able to listen to us and all the programming here while the Rays are playing baseball, because they only broadcast over the airwaves. That's a Major League Baseball rule. And you'll also be able to participate in our daily poll. And Nick's going to give us the latest numbers here in just a moment. The poll question today is, who's going to win tomorrow night, Trump, Kasich, or Cruz? And then also, don't forget to register, and you can do this once a day. You can either do it via the app, or you can just, if you don't have the app, you can go to am660theanswer.com to register once a day between now and April the 15th for that tax day bonus sweepstakes. Somebody's going to win $4,000. Okay, before we get rolling again here, Nick, where do we stand with today's poll question, please, sir?
Kasich, zero votes. Donald Trump coming in at 42% of the vote, which means Cruz
picked up a little
57% right now.
All right. Well, the polls, you know, show that Cruz is going to win this. However, they did show a little tightening over the weekend, and Trump's getting massive crowds again. So we shall see. And it's an open primary. But we talk a lot about that. I want to go ahead and focus tonight on some other important issues that have come up in this campaign with John Barros. John, welcome again to the show. Appreciate you being back here.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
And, of course, if you've not heard about John yet, he is a sidewalk counselor. And, once again, you can find his work at whowillstand.net. That's his website when it's not being hacked by Planned Parenthood or somebody, whowillstand.net. But he stands outside the abortion center downtown, owned to some degree by Pendergraft, the old butcher himself, drug-dealing, road-traveling abortion doctor on the road, on the run. Anyway, what he tries to do is convince women that there are other alternatives, and got a pretty good success rate. Of course, God's really moving their hearts but you're the one moving the mouth and saying the words that they hear, that that God uses to affect them. Real quick, since you were here last time, the courts had just basically approved, if you will, the 24-hour waiting period. And you had just seen sort of a few days or a couple of weeks of results. Are you really beginning to see more results with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny thing. They're twice as busy now is what it is, because you have people that have to come for their first initial visit,
right?
Get their ultrasound, talk to the doctor, leave, and then come back. And then every day after that, you have that same schedule. There'll be like two shifts of people coming. The ones that are there for their abortion, the ones that are there to have to be
signed up.
On what signed
up.
Yeah.
So you get basically two cracks at them now, though.
Yes.
In a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you seeing a difference?
Yes. There's one hook that they do, though, that to kind of trap the girls is they make them pay up front the day that they get their ultrasound.
Oh.
They pay the whole price.
I see.
And like, say that. The cheapest abortions is $600. And so then they will refund their money if they choose life, but they charge them $400 for the ultrasound.
Oh, God. So,
they give them $200 back.
Right. So I see what you're saying. That's quite a hook.
So they're making their money anyway. They could really care less if the girl does go through with the abortion because of all... And they just paid for one without all the stuff involved.
And obviously, once the psychological element is once somebody pays for something, mm-hmm. they expect to follow through.
That's right.
It makes that incentive to follow through. Maybe they can go back and correct that in the law somehow.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You just see, folks, that's, you know, you never know how a law is going to turn out until it's actually put into effect, and then the people that it's meant to affect are going to try to figure out some way to get around it.
Yes, sir.
And that's what's happened in this case. So, well, thanks for enlightening us to that. Yesterday, on the yesterday show, we talked a little bit about the U.S. Census has come out with some numbers. These are worldwide numbers. And they show that in about 4 years, sometime over the next 4 years, there will be more people in the world 65 and older than there are 5 years and younger. And then that trend will continue, and it'll get even more pronounced and wider and wider and wider. And this wasn't included in the article, but one of the obvious reasons for that are abortions.
Absolutely.
And for instance, in the United States, since Roe v. Wade, the number is now estimated to be 57 million.
That's correct.
And not only are those, you know, individuals not going to exist, but their offspring as well. And there will be economic and there will be bad consequences for this. There are countries already that are going through this, Japan and Germany in particular. Germany, one of the reasons why Angela Merkel allowed all of those Middle Eastern refugees in is because they need to bolster their population. And then, of course, you have the forces against population growth who think that we have too many people on the planet as is, and they're working hard to diminish the population, not only through abortion, but promoting homosexuality and transgenderism and these sort of things, which you got to say is going to, you know, be a stumbling block to procreation a little bit. And so it's not a good looking future. So I just want to take my hat off to you because you're trying in your own way. You're trying to save the human race, literally speaking, because as the population declines, it's going to produce economic turmoil, which will produce violence, death, and bloodshed, which will make the problem only worse. This is not, I guess what I'm trying to say is, this is bigger than any of us really imagine or have even thought about.
Absolutely. We've made life cheap. Life isn't sacred, so it's cheap. and it's just
$600 cheap.
Yeah, but it, I mean, in the way, you know, there's been studies. I'm not familiar with the exact numbers and all that, but there's been studies about how, say, moms and dads that go and have an abortion, or just a mom or whatever, the way she relates to her other kids that she has is affected by what they did with the by killing the other one, and for no better words. But
right.
It affects everybody. It affects entire families. It's not just the girl. It's all of her family. It's the mom, the dad. It's just a nightmare.
Well, now that you mention that, Peggy Noonan wrote an article for the Wall Street Journal that came out on Saturday. So her articles come out in the Saturday edition. And she addresses the controversy that Trump got into last week with the interview with Chris Matthews. You're familiar with it?
Yes.
Okay. In which Trump said, in a hypothetical situation, should we, you know, make abortion illegal? Should the woman be, quote-unquote, punished? He said, well, yeah, there should be some punishment. Now, he didn't say that they should go to jail. As a matter of fact, he said, when asked what that should be, he said that would have to be determined. And later on, he would say that would be determined by the states. But then Peggy Noonan addresses this, and of course, she's highly critical of him for even suggesting such a thing. But then when you read part of her reasoning, let me read you what part of her reasoning is. Now, she says, first of all, that women are, let me just read this one paragraph, because this is her approach on it. A woman who aborts a child is operating within an emotional and spiritual context of fear, disappointment, confusion, and sadness. If she receives an illegal abortion, she should not be, quote-unquote, punished by the law. This is in line with long human tradition and is based on the simple wisdom, now this is where it gets, you know, down to it, that she has already been gravely and tragically penalized. She has lost her child, someone who is very likely going to love her, someone who she very likely would have loved. The doctor who performs such an abortion, on the other hand, is not in turmoil. He's in business. He breaks the law and ends the life of the child with full consciousness and for full profit. He should be punished. He should be put in jail. No argument there. But her argument for not punishing the woman is she's already going to be punished. And that's no news to you, is it?
No, sir. She is going to be punished. The statistics are 70% of girls that have abortions will contemplate suicide over it at some point in their life, and 30% will actually attempt it. I had a girl, two girls that came for an abortion the week before last. One girl's name was Lynn, and the girl that was having the abortion, her name was Jewel. Lynn actually came to Christ through the preaching out front there, and then went in and started fighting, trying to get her friend out. It went on all day long, but her friend wouldn't budge. Jewel ended up going through with the abortion. Then 4 days later, Lynn texted me wanting help because they had to Baker Act Jewel because she had cut herself all up trying to commit suicide. And, I mean, fortunately, I was able to get her to Lake County's pregnancy center out there because they live up by the villages. And a psychologist as well. But the big fallacy here is that these women are victims. I'm going to tell you that right now. I get flipped off, spit in my face, cussed at all day long by these 25 to 35-year-old girls that are going to have abortions. They tell me things like, I can kill my mother effing baby if I mother effing want to. They tell me, I'll bring it out and you can have it for dinner. All these horrible, horrible things. But they are not the victims that all these people that write these things. I wish they would come and sit on the wall with me someday and see what in the world is going on here. It is not anything like they could ever imagine. It's actually the absolute opposite.
Wow. And, of course, the whole point would be if we made it illegal and there were some form of sanction, would be to actually spare these women.
Well, the problem is also these guys, they all come up with opinions, but they're not based on anything concrete.
They've never been.
It's just their opinion.
Right. They've never been where you.
Right. But we need to go back to God's word. And if you go in God's word in Exodus chapter 21, there's a scene where a man hurts a lady that's pregnant. Two men are fighting, and this girl gets in between them somehow, and she gets hurt. And then it says that the baby miscarries. The baby miscarries. And it says, God required the life of the man that hurt her. It says, life for life. God looks at that person, that baby in the womb, as a life, as a person. And that anybody that harmed that baby to where it was caused to die, their life was required. Now, in the United States, could you do that today? No, but what I would love to see would be for a national day or week or whatever of mourning and forgiveness, seeking forgiveness before God for all of the people that have done it in the past, and then reboot and, yes, require the life of somebody that kills a baby.
Yesterday, in an interview on, I forget which show it was, Hillary Clinton said, and I quote, the unborn person doesn't have constitutional rights. and obviously, this has now upset a lot of pro-choice people because personhood means you do.
Right.
Legally speaking, you do have constitutional rights.
Right.
And, of course, that's part of the whole point against abortion is that these are human being persons.
Yes, sir.
And the only question is, when does that personhood begin? And certainly sonograms have shown us that these are they even look like human beings at, what, 10 or 12 weeks? You can actually look and see
that.
Oh,
man, there's a lot sooner than that.
Yeah, yeah. That just within weeks, you can say, look, there's little hands, there's feet, the heart. You can see the heart. You can see the heart beating.
Yeah.
And so what changes after that?
Yeah, just growth.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Once you're assigned your DNA signature, that's personhood.
That's right.
That's individuality. You are now a unique individual. No one ever else has been like you, nor will ever be like you.
Right. And even David, King David says in the Bible, he says, in sin did my mother conceive me. That didn't mean his mother was a whore. It meant that at conception, he was David, and that Adam's sin had passed on to him, original sin.
Right.
So all through the Bible, at conception is the time of life.
All right. We'll take a break. We come back. We got a phone caller, so please stay with us, Mary. We'll get to you as soon as we do come back from the break. 407-774-8255 is the number. And John was at a shower the other night. I want him to tell us about that.
Yes, sir.
Because that's some good news. We'll be right back with that, too. All right, welcome back to the show. Once again, thank you for listening to the American Adversaries. We have Mary on the line, so let's go right to Mary. Thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being out there.
Hi, John. John knows us well. My husband and I stand with him many days, and what he's describing as to how the girls treat him, many of the girls, is very, very true. Rush Limbaugh had a call today, his last call, and the caller said, the reason why Chris Matthews asked that question the way he asked it, with the exact words he used, and we all know that, was to trap, so to speak, Trump. And the caller said what Trump should have done was reverse the question and say, well, let me ask you this. If a Democrat breaks the law, should he be punished? And Rush thought that was a great idea. That's the basic question. Breaking the law, you're breaking the law.
Right, yeah. I tried to describe this on the show in my own way last week, that all he was doing was taking the question to its logical conclusion, and that is, if you have a law and someone breaks it, obviously, isn't there supposed to be some sanction for that? And I took it a step further that, look, if abortion is made illegal, then anyone who participates in that should be sanctioned. And that would be a husband and wife if they are in it together. It would be the grandparents if they pay for it. It would certainly be the doctor. Everybody would be responsible. It would be like, you know, people conspiring to commit a crime, any other crime. Once you make it illegal, it's a criminal thing. So the rest of it just sort of flows from that. So that would have been a good way to address the question.
And you notice how Matthews worded his question. You said sanctioned. He said punished.
Yes.
Well, we all know the word punished immediately causes us to say, "Oh, poor them."
Oh yeah. And should Trump get the nomination, that will be the part of the interview that you will see him saying punished. But if you listen, though, he goes on to say that the punishment would not include jail time, and that he didn't know what the punishment would be, that quote unquote would have to be determined. And so all he was doing was engaging in a hypothetical, but would not get into any specifics about that. So you're absolutely right about that.
And I did want to say that my husband and I come from West Virginia, and I'll tell you, when we see John, quote unquote, doing what he does at the abortion bill, we call it.
Yeah.
It is breathtaking. We are grandparents of 11 grandchildren, and any day we save a baby is a glorious day and worth all the insults we take.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Well, thank you, Mary. Thank you for that testimony. We appreciate it.
Thank you for your show, and thank you for having John.
Oh, our pleasure. Our pleasure.
Say hi to my war hero.
Yeah. And by the way, since you're from West Virginia, I know we have a great sponsor called Roxy Pacifics, and this is great stuff for your skin, for those insect bites, cuts, nicks, scrapes, and burns. And if you'd like the Roxy's to send you some of that as a sample, stay on the line and Nick will get your address, okay? But thank you so much for being out there, Mary. We appreciate it. Real quick, John, you were at a shower the other night. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes, sir. St. Andrews had another shower for a young lady named Takaya.
Who decided to have her child.
Decided to have her. And this one, Chris, I'm going to tell you, as long as you don't tell anybody. But I'm going to tell you how this happened.
Okay.
I was at the abortion clinic I'm at, usually. And then I get a phone call from a nurse in another abortion clinic wanting me to talk to a girl in there that could go either way on having, and she ended up choosing life.
So an employee of the abortion clinic called you?
God works in so many ways there you have no clue.
How do you like that? God bless that woman for that anyway.
She got a bunch of stuff Friday.
That's
it
cool.
Was fun.
That is cool. So John goes to baby showers. Yeah. How about that? I used to get dragged to him when I was a kid.
Oh, man. These are better than any.
Back from the dressing room to restretch their tights. Here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. Thanks so very much for being with us. We really appreciate you being there and listening to us on AM660TheAnswer.com or via your smart device, because you were smart enough to download the WORL-FM-AM app. And we really appreciate that. And don't forget, now that you have that app downloaded, or even if you're listening on the stream, you can register for the Tax Day Bonus Sweepstakes. Just invited John to dinner tomorrow night, but he can't because he's got to do his taxes. Now that you got Nick to download that app, you need to register for that drawing, my friend.
Oh, I'm eligible?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So somebody's going to win $4,000.
Sure,
yeah, somebody's going to win $4,000. But you got to get in to win, all right? And you can either register by going to am660theanswer.com or via the app in your smart device. And you can also participate in our nightly poll questions. And tonight's question is, who's going to win tomorrow night? Have we had any more action since we last checked, Nick?
Yeah, Cruz pulling even further ahead right now, 62% to 38%.
And that's 62% of the
over
people.
Over Trump.
Yeah.
No one's voted for Kasich.
Surprise.
Sorry.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. Yeah, so we'll give you the final tally at the end of the show. But that's that would be the standard thinking anyway, because the polls certainly seem to show Cruz comfortably in the lead, even though it may not be the 10 points that it was looking like last week.
Yeah, and I phrased the question, who do you think will win, not necessarily who do you want to win.
This wasn't meant to be wishful thinking. This was meant to be who do you think will actually pull it off. That's the bad news for Trump. The good news for Trump is he's still well ahead in, he's way ahead in New York. He's comfortably in the lead in Pennsylvania as well. And that northeast sector of the country should deliver him several hundred more delegates. Whether it gets him the about 470 that he needs, that remains to be seen. Okay. I want to get back to the discussion with John, because, boy, this campaign season has really opened up a huge discussion about this issue with Trump and what he said. I was going through the dial this morning listening to a show for briefly, only for a little short time, on another network, one of the major syndicated shows, who's got his own TV network and all that sort of stuff, was actually echoing pretty much what I had said in response to what Trump had said, which is kind of what we just said in the prior segment of the show. And that is that and I got a little bit more specific on Friday's show when Diane called in, because I said that this is part of the equation, if you will, that's there that we don't talk about as right to life people. We don't talk about what it really means in the toughest sense to be right to life, and that if we make abortion illegal, what exactly does that mean? Because if it's going to be effective, it has to be illegal for everyone involved. It's kind of like saying, we're going to make the use of drugs illegal, but we're going to keep the trade of drugs illegal. Do you think that that's going to stop the trade of illegal drugs? It's only going to make it more pronounced, right? So, you know, if you're going to have prohibition, it's got to be pretty much complete. But we don't talk about that. And part of the reason we don't talk about that, and quite honestly from a political stance, is that it makes it much harder to get restrictions on abortion. But nonetheless, that has to be an issue. And I believe we had a caller last night that said that there is one state, and I don't remember if they said what it was, that in the third trimester where that state abortion is illegal, the woman can be sanctioned for the abortion should she participate in it. So it's something that's there. I mean, God doesn't ignore it, right?
No, sir. It's black and white with him.
And when you are counseling out at downtown, mm-hmm. your first message is what?
Well, that we can help. That I come from St. Andrew's Chapel, and if there's another church there, sometimes others might come. That we can help as a church body with whatever it is that they need that makes them think that they have to do this.
So, in other words, you're there saying, look, you don't have to do this. We'll help you.
Right.
Come on out.
Get them started immediately at Choices, which is 10 minutes from there.
And then you have the religious, the spiritual element of it.
Yes.
What if they don't come out?
Then they don't come out.
Does your message change?
Well, my message, you mean when I preach?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it changes a lot.
How?
It gets very hard. I have to give the warnings of what the Bible talks about and what God thinks of this. And it's frightening. It really is frightening. I mean, there's no getting around it. God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. It's in Proverbs 6. It's one of the seven deadly sins. And Galatians 6 tells us to be not deceived. God is not mocked, that whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. And it's clear.
Do women more respond to the pleas to come out than the warnings, or the other way around, or is it sort of the total message, do you think?
Well, in the mornings, a lot of times to the there will be girls come that have probably been, a lot of them tell me, oh, I was praying that somebody would be here to stop me, okay, the night before.
Really?
And so then it's
so
easy.
They're wanting not to go.
But there's something just pulling them.
Right.
You know, either the pressure of a guy or usually some coward.
Right.
Guy,
you know? Yeah, that doesn't want to be responsible and, for
exactly,
raising a kid.
Doesn't want to live up to his
right.
And so that's how we start out. And I forgot what you asked.
Do you get more response from that?
Oh. Well, we get response from that. But then they'll go in and we'll have to preach the hard sayings, have to show them that it is a baby, show them that they're stuck in a traps. 2 Timothy chapter 2 tells us to correct those that are in opposition if perhaps God would grant them repentance and open their eyes that they might see the snare of the devil having been taken by him to do his will. And it's only through God's word being preached that hearts get changed. And believe it or not, most of the ones that get changed are from the is God using those scriptures, the harder ones.
Is that right?
Yes. Because so many of these people go to churches where the preachers just want to be everybody's buddy and they want to collect as much money as they can. So they don't tell them the truth about sin. They don't tell them the truth about these issues. And all of a sudden they show up down there and all of a sudden they're getting this, and it's almost like a foreign language to them.
Right.
But the amazing thing was, I'll give you this little example. There was a Hindu couple came last Thursday. The Hindu couple comes. I speak to them using scripture. They choose life and leave. And then I had a Buddhist couple, Vietnamese couple come. Same thing. Turn around and leave.
After hearing Christian scripture.
Yep. Oh, I've had Muslims, a lot of them. But here's the thing. The Christian girl, quote unquote, pulls up, has a Bible on her dash. And I said, young lady, is that your Bible? And she said, yes. And I said, are you a Christian? Do you claim to be a Christian? She goes, oh, yes. And I said, well, what do you think? Yeah, in Proverbs 6, it says that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. And she says, oh, I'm not using that scripture today. No, you hear it all. But here we got two different religions that got you hear this stuff every day.
Oh, my gosh. I guess you have to be there. It's amazing that the way people rationalize mm-hmm. sometimes. But, you know, make no mistake, I know we've been talking about the woman, but the guy is just as culpable, right? I mean,
absolutely.
He's going to suffer, too.
Absolutely, before God.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, as you say, with God, there is no, I mean, it's black and white.
It's black and white. I mean, everything, it is black and white. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. These people that come think their situation is special. Well, it's at the very core of God, who he is, that he's holy, 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 and that he's a just judge. And he does love. He loves his people. But the Bible tells us that he's angry with the wicked every minute of every day. The wicked people kill their children. We come down there and we try to warn them about these things, about what God thinks of this. And he turns hearts through that message.
The legislature passed and the governor signed, I believe last week, laws making the abortion a little bit more restricted. Are you familiar with it, and do you think it's going to make a difference? And by the way, it also evidently defunds Planned Parenthood here in Florida. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's really going to make a difference?
Oh, it'll absolutely make a difference as long as some judge doesn't jump up and stop it before then.
Right.
It'll shut me down. It'll shut my that place. It'll shut down all of his.
So he gets funding from the state?
I don't know if he gets that, probably, but what he does not have is a doctor at his clinics with admitting privileges.
Which is part of this legislation.
Yeah, these guys are all quacks. Trust me, they're all butchers. There's no hospital in the state can let them in.
Now, you say they don't have doctors with admitting privileges.
Right.
What kind of medical qualifications does someone have to perform an abortion? Don't they have to be a doctor?
Yes.
But they don't necessarily have admitting privileges at a hospital.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I would have thought just being a full-fledged physician
exactly.
meant that you would have that.
The question should be, what do you have to do wrong to not be...
I don't mean to be laughing again, but yeah, in other words, why don't they still have those admitting privileges? Why are they working at a place like that?
Yeah, because that's the only place they can.
Wow. Real quick, any update on Pendergraft and what's going on with his clinic?
Well,
aside
that
from
hearing
that,
is supposed to be in the next couple of weeks.
Here in Florida?
Yeah. They've put in, the state of Florida has put in the paperwork to pull his license.
Which would mean closing the place
closing
down.
Five different abortion clinics. And it for his drug sales, manufacturing and sales.
Right, right.
And then I forgot what I was going to say, but
so the hearing is going to be in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
to determine
that's
that.
Not a trial. That's a hearing by the Medical Licensing Board, ACA, of the state of Florida.
Right, it's a regulatory agency.
So they can just yank it.
Right.
Now it could be all over.
He could appeal it, but nonetheless, they can take that license from him. And the reason being is that anyone who owns 5% or more or has a 5% or more stake in an abortion center cannot have any sort of criminal record, which he now has and as a result of being arrested in, was that South Carolina?
South Carolina.
South Carolina, in a van with drugs and bloodied abortion tools. And the sheriff called him, the traveling abortion doctor. So, all right. We'll go ahead and take the final break of the day, and we'll come back. We'll continue the conversation with John Barros. Thank you for being out there, and don't forget to participate in today's poll and register for the Tax Day Bonus Sweepstakes. Yeah, you got the pearls of talk show decadence coming to you live on AM660TheAnswer.com and via the free WRL-FM AM app. Got a couple of phone calls. I'm Christopher Hart here with John Barros. So let's go right to the phone lines. Sherry is up first. Sherry, thank you for calling tonight.
Yeah, good evening, Chris.
Howdy, howdy.
I'm sorry I missed you the last half hour.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Just like last season, you're welcome to call. Nick will put you on hold, and you can listen on the telephone.
Well, that's what I hope to do, but I wanted your permission.
Okay.
Okay. John, I've listened to you since you've been on the show. You need to be on more than once a month to get your word out, okay?
Well, there's this guy over here.
He's looking at me. That's just saying that. Well, we'll consider that. We'll talk about that. But thanks.
I appreciate it. He is the Word of God, and I know Chris. You would put him on every day if you had to. Okay.
Oh, he could be a co-host. That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And but you know, you reach more people out here through the radio medium than you would do just, you know, standing down there at the clinic, you know?
Well, you know, we were just talking during the break. Our archive at our website, when John's on the show, those shows get the most hits on our archive of any of our shows.
Absolutely.
So people are definitely interested.
But let me just say this about Trump.
Yeah.
When he was asked that question by that sycophant, Chris Matthews.
Yeah.
That typical, and I'm sorry, Dennis, I don't mean to offend you, but that typical Catholic.
Easy does it, yeah.
He's
your typical liberal Catholic. Let's qualify that.
Yeah, typical liberal Catholic, whatever you want to call
him.
Okay, he's just like Nancy Pelosi, John Kerry, the Cuomo brothers, and the father who just passed away.
And Joe Biden.
And Joe Biden and all of these other creeps.
Yeah.
You know, who profess to be the one and only true religion, but yet they, you know, they want homosexuality and they want, you know, the death of babies. But anyway, I'm going to get off of that.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
That's okay. You lose your train of thought.
I'm losing my train of thought, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, Trump did try to bring that out with Chris Matthews. He was saying, look, your faith, you know, doesn't believe in abortion, right? And that's where he actually did try to turn the question on Matthews.
But wait a minute. Let me just finish it.
Yeah.
He said, if abortion is illegal,
right,
would the woman be punished? Now, if you take a man and he walks into a bank and he robs the bank and he's convicted.
Sure.
If the woman walks into a bank and robs the bank, is she not convicted?
Sure.
Because she's a woman?
Yeah. Well, you're right. This is what he has done is he's opened up a part of the conversation that was always there, but people didn't want to talk about it. And now it's being talked about. And it should have been talked about all along, but it wasn't. And, you know, I was a bit surprised when I heard Glenn Beck actually bring it up this morning and pretty much said what I said the other night. And that is that, look, this is a part of the equation we just don't talk about. And perhaps we have done a disservice by not talking about it. I was sort of taken aback.
I wouldn't expect Glenn Beck to even say that because he's in.
Well, that is actually what I would expect him to say. I mean, he's kind of been off the rail lately because he's so anti-Trump. But that is exactly what I would expect him to say. And but it was still, maybe because I had said it Friday and he said it Monday that kind of took me a little bit. But, you know, he was right, you know, and it was obvious that they weren't excited. I mean, it was something that, you know, we have to talk about. It's not like we're just jumping with joy to talk about it because this is something that as we as human beings should be ashamed of, that we do this to our breed, I mean, to our offspring.
Well, we need to remember that the babies in the womb are persons.
Right, yeah, and even, okay, even Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Rotten Clinton said.
That's right. Exactly right. Yeah, she actually in a.
He's a monster. He is an absolute monster.
Well, it's one thing to say, and this is why obviously the pro-choice people make this argument that it's not a human, it's not a person, because once you make that recognition, you have to offer that individual the same rights that we all share, and that means protection by the law.
Yeah.
And
I don't mean to embarrass John. I have my own opinion. I know he does his stuff in his own style. But, I mean, you know, God bless you, John.
Well, thank you. You're not embarrassing me at all.
I'm sorry.
You don't.
But you were so quiet.
Well, I listen to this show. And I watch when they all start talking over each other, and it makes no sense. So I'll just be quiet and let Chris talk.
God bless Chris. We love him to death. That's why I'm so upset you're being taken off the air because of the
Well, I understand. I understand. I understand. It's a bit frustrating for us too, but we just deal with it. And but we're here, and we'll continue to be here.
God bless every one of you.
Thanks. You too, young lady.
Thanks, okay. Sherry. And once again, feel free to call and let Nick put you on hold. Okay. All right. We only got 2 minutes left to go. Okay, I thought we had another caller, but we only have 2 minutes left to go, and I don't see the caller on the screen anymore. So, caller, I'm sorry. If you'll call back tomorrow, I would love to take your call, Tim. All right, in the meantime, Nick, where do we stand? What's the final tally?
All right, let me. Oh, I lost it. All right, give me a second. Got to hit refresh on this fall. We'll get it back up here.
That's okay.
Just in the meantime, real quick, because people have been calling in, checking on this. So apparently, there's a new poll that was just came out in Wisconsin. It's an American Research Group poll.
Yeah.
Has Trump up by 10 points?
Trump up by
42-32. I'm looking at it though. Only 400 people surveyed, and a majority of the people surveyed did not call themselves Republican. There's a lot of weirdness to this poll.
But it's an open primary.
Yeah, yeah. Right,
that's interesting.
But anyway,
that affect our numbers?
That's the latest here. So I'm just trying to get the information on that. Hold on. Hopefully I can get this in time. I'm sorry about that.
Real quickly, you can find out more about what John does and help him out at whowillstand.net. Whowillstand.net. And if you'd like to stand with John, it's down there on Lucerne Terrace, right? What's the actual physical address?
1103 Lucerne Terrace.
1103 Lucerne Terrace, downtown. Nick?
Yeah, final results ended up 63% Cruz, 37% Trump.
All right. Okay, thank you, Nick. We appreciate that. We're, of course, going to see what happens tomorrow night. And we'll be back here again tomorrow night. John, I guess we're going to have to start scheduling you maybe every other week.
It's up to you, sir.
If you can do it, we'll do
it. I'd be glad to.
All right.
You just let me know.
All right. Okay, thanks for being out there and listening. We really do appreciate you folks who are listening now. That means you're really dedicated listeners, and we really do appreciate that. And don't forget, tune in tomorrow night. We got Colonel Danny McKnight's going to join us, and the fellows from the Wounded Officers Initiative are also going to drop by for a little while. So I hope you'll be with us as well. John, thank you. Appreciate
it. Thank you, sir. I love this.
All right. Night, everybody.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. The official radio station of Decision 24-7.